I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and I am delighted to serve West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I use the pronouns she and her, and everyone is welcome at WUF's services. Whether you come for connection with your community, for respite, for inspiration, you are welcome. Whether this weekend means for you summer play, Juneteenth, Pride, Father's Day, Solstice, more work, or all of those, you are welcome here. It is a beautiful day today, created out of the mystery, and each of you are blessed with this miracle, so enjoy it. If you are new and want to know more about how to connect with our services, there's a slide at the end of this service that tells you how to connect with our administrator and get on our email list so you can get to know people in our community. We will have coffee hour online today. The link is in the email that came with the service link. We'd like to have in-person coffee hours this summer, but we do need hosts. So if you would like that to happen, let me know at minister@woof.org. Lighting. I light this chalice in honor of the summer solstice. Today, it's the longest day of the year. The specific moment that is the solstice, when the western hemisphere is closest to the sun, happens this evening at 8:31 p.m. We celebrate the solstice with this poem by the Reverend David Greeden. The solstice teaches us that darkness comes and darkness goes. The solstices teach us that light comes and light goes. The solstices teach us calmly, silently, to be calm, silent, learning. The solstices teach us as we circle the sun that everything flies. The solstices teach us to remember the dark, to remember the light, to remember time, the seasons, and love as we circle the sun. Let us say our affirmation together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
Hi, in honor of Pride Month, we'd like to sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I think you'll recognize it.
Bye.
Somewhere over the rainbow is the place of dreams, of what can and may be. People dream, and sometimes those dreams come true. This Sunday, the third Sunday in June, holds so much. Juneteenth, which is now a national holiday. Pride, Father's Day, and the summer solstice. Who and what do we celebrate on this crowded summer weekend? Black people finally walking away from being made to labor through threat of violence and state laws? LGBTQIA plus people, proud, empowered to be who they truly are? Fathers, our own fathers, or others who fathered us. And the act of being a father? The solstice, the longest day of sunlight in the Western Hemisphere. If there are things that really matter and are worth celebrating, these are them. We celebrate this weekend the freedom of not being controlled by violence. Pain pummeled against the body, fear of that pain, keeping us down and small. This kind of control is the worst thing that human beings do to each other. This is the most important freedom there is, to be free of violence and attack on our bodies and emotional beings. Some of us have always had this freedom, and others have had to dream it and rise up and demand freedom from control by violence. Juneteenth celebrates the freedom from enslavement for Black people across the United States. Pride celebrates this freedom for LGBTQIA plus people. This is not total freedom. People are still controlled with violence. There is no question about that. But on Juneteenth and Pride Sunday, we celebrate the significant and important movement towards that freedom and rally to fight until no one is controlled in this way. For some, Father's Day is a painful reminder of fathers who parented through control, including emotional and physical violence. For centuries in European culture, many men were taught this was the way to parent. Fortunately, this isn't true in the wider culture anymore, and that is a huge blessing. Maybe today we can acknowledge our freedom from family violence, or consider steps we can take away from that pain. All of this progress against violence must be celebrated. Today we also celebrate being cared for and nurtured and loved. This is the best thing that human beings offer one another. Communities of people controlled by the violence of the dominant society have often found ways to bond together in communities of love, care, and support. The Black church, house culture, as shown on the TV series Pose, in Latin and Black neighborhood culture, shown recently in the musical In the Heights, are all examples of this. People do find together joy and resilience through loving one another in incredibly difficult circumstances. The best fathers of all sorts, birth, adopted, fostered, and found, nurture, care for, and love their children. They empower their children to live well. Those of us with such fathers are lucky. Those who strive to be such fathers are a blessing to us all. The ability to love, even when life challenges us, must be celebrated. Then there is the solstice, that reminds us year in and year out of the coming of darkness and coming of light, of the earth and her cycles, and how we are utterly dependent on her for our lives. The sun lifts our spirits as we tumble outside to play and celebrate. We celebrate today with words and prayer and music.
You may be wrong, the thing that you'll bring me along. Words for Father's Day by Aaron Carvel Zimmer. I believe in fathering. I believe in the radical idea that men have the full human capacity to nurture. Hair bows and baseballs, cooking and creativity, tools and tiaras, camping and dancing, snuggles and shrieks of delight. Too many fathers don't believe in their own fathering. Too many are scarred by their own fathers to hear their heart say otherwise. Too many have known fathers who, faced with a quivering lip and tears, could only say, "Man up." Too many have known fathers who knew only yelling and hitting. Too many have known fathers who lost sight of their sacred role of protector and became tormentor. But I believe in fathering. When a human being gestates and gives birth, their brain changes permanently. A father's brain changes permanently too. Changes as he rocks his baby to sleep, delights in baby games, and soothes bumps and bruises. A father earns his new neurobiology. In a world where too many mothers hand their co-parent directions more specific than those given to the babysitter, where a father out with his kids is asked, "Are you babysitting?" or "Where's mom?" where fathers are the punchline, I believe in fathering. I believe in the radical idea that men have the full human capacity to nurture. Whether their children come through birth, adoption, or fostering, through scouts, sports, Sunday school, or youth group. I've known too many gay dads, too many single fathers, too many men raising children others couldn't to believe otherwise. I believe we all, especially our children, deserve to know that the human capacity to nurture belongs to every one of us. I believe in fathering. Now we celebrate Father's Day with one of the most iconic songs about a father who learns to be a father.
Yeah. Juneteenth for Maisie. Written and illustrated by Floyd Cooper. For the Williams, the Banks, the Perkins, and the Cooper families, the clans that form my tree. Floyd. Maisie wants to play outside, but it is too late. It's getting dark, Maisie. It's time to stay inside. Maisie wants a cookie, but it is time for bed. Not now, little one. It's too close to bedtime. Maisie wants to stay up late, but she is too little. Bedtime is the rule, sweet girl. Why so grumpy, Sugar Bear? Asks Dad. I can't go where I want, have what I want, or do what I want, answers Maisie. Well, tomorrow you can have a celebration, says Dad. What are we celebrating? Asks Maisie. We will celebrate the day your great-great-great-grandpa Mose crossed into liberty. The day will be celebrated by us and many more families on the day we call Juneteenth. Dad lifts Maisie into his arms. I bet you're tired of hearing no all the time. Well, great-great-great-grandpa Mose heard no even more. Grandpa Mose worked in fields that stretched all the way to sunset. He and the other enslaved people would be bone tired, but they had to keep going. Their enslavers wouldn't let them quit, but as they worked, they thought about freedom. And before they finally went to sleep at night, they prayed about freedom and made plans for change and a better future. Some slaves ran north to freedom, following a bright star in the sky. They sweat, they bled, and they cried till those cries were quieted by a single proclamation from a brave president. Grandpa Mose heard that proclamation, read from the balcony of the hotel on that warm June day in Galveston, Texas. Grandpa Mose heard nothing but cheers, saw nothing but happiness, and felt nothing but pride shared by all those around him. The cheers became dancing, the dancing became celebrating. It went on and on into the night. Grandpa Mose and the others had found freedom. They continued to work, but this time they were paid for their hard work. So they worked, and they saved, and they never forgot the moment they heard. The moment that changed their lives forever. But things weren't perfect. Black people still struggled to stand shoulder to shoulder with white people. They still weren't treated as equals. It wasn't easy, but they never gave up. And every year on Juneteenth, they remembered. They marched for jobs, they lobbied for schools and the right to vote, they shouted for opportunity. And every year on Juneteenth, they celebrated and remembered. They learned and they grew. They forgave. They excelled and achieved. They became heroes. Now, sweet Maisie, it's your turn to celebrate, just like great-great-great-grandpa Mose. It's your turn, Maisie, to eat some barbecue and drink some strawberry pop. It's your turn to celebrate and to remember.
Having dreams is a form of play. When we dream, we imagine possibilities for the future. We play with the possibilities in our minds like a changing story, moving around variables and plot points, visioning something bigger, better, more suited to us. We think of play as the realm of children. Possibilities, it turns out, are also the realm of children. According to Alison Gopnik, a professor of psychology, very young children imagine and explore a vast array of possibilities. However, as we grow older, certain possibilities become more likely and more useful. Once we decide certain ideas and possibilities are more likely and useful, we stick by them. We develop habits. We develop ways of thinking. We stop spinning out possibilities. We use certain accepted ways of understanding the world consistently over and over until we lose track that other ways are possible. According to Gopnik, computer scientists talk about the difference between exploring and exploiting. A system will learn more if it explores many possibilities, but it will be more effective if it simply acts on the most likely one. Babies explore, adults exploit. Juneteenth and Pride celebrate the dreams of people who knew a better life was possible and their work to live what they dreamed. Father's Day celebrates the dreams of men to nurture and care for the children that they love. Dreams matter. Playing with possibilities instead of repeating present realities that do not lead to love and flourishing are essential for all forms of life. The open-ended, let's try this. Maybe this could work. How about? And leaning into those possibilities instead of pulling away or shrugging in despair that anything else is impossible. It can be like children at play who constantly use the what if form of speech, as in, what if you're the dad and I'm the kid and you push me in the swing? Or, what if you are watching the parade and I am on the float in the sequined dress of red lipstick dancing? The what if form of speech is the speech of imagination and dreams. What if every person had a place they belonged and people they belonged to? What if my neighbors and I had a street party once a month? What if there was a garden on every block? What if no one had to worry about if they got to eat or if they could afford to go to the doctor? What if there was a universal basic income? Andrew Sullivan, the gay conservative, but not a Trump conservative, commentator, in the 1990s, believing he was dying of AIDS, thinking it would be his last act, wrote a book advocating for gay marriage. He wanted this dream, his what if, to be his last offering to the world. His book and his idea was universally attacked. Conservatives, who were his people, found it repulsive. Many gays and lesbians, also his people, wanted to change the conventional ideas of sexuality and partnership and did not want to assimilate into the idea of marriage. But the dream was there, in print, and now it was a conversation. And really, not that long into the future, just 2 decades, it was reality. Gay marriage went from impossible to dreamed out loud to conversation to real in just 20 years. And Sullivan did not die. He lived to see it and get married himself. Dreaming, playing with possibilities, leaning into what if, feels so good. It's fun. It's playful. It opens our hearts and lets us say what we really want, not what we just think we can have. Our way of living, so entrenched and accepted by most of us, has been wrenched apart by COVID and rising homelessness and other distress that shows our economic and social system does not work for far too many people. The Western drought, heat waves, and fire will make the lives that we used to live even less possible. This moment is the time to play what if with our family, with our friends, our neighbors, with this congregation. It's time to dream out loud. It is time to dream the impossible dreams. To say them into our world, to be in those conversations, in partnership with others who dream as we do, in the mass movements that insist change happen. What if our society stopped controlling people with violence? What if our society was built on care and compassion for every person instead of greed and profit? What if we live sustainably with the earth? Let us dream, joyfully, playfully, without screwing up our faces and hardening our hearts with the words, "It's just impossible." Wherever you are right now, just stand up and joyfully sing out loud our hymn, "Now Let Us Sing." It is playful, it is joyful, and this is the world that we want. Amen.
And now we will pause for a moment to offer. To offer those gifts that we have, whether that's monetary or gifts of our time or talent, our good hearts and good wishes. We pause to offer that to those who came before so that we may all move forward into the future as part of this building and this collective group of souls. Today, our offering will go to the benefit of the Neighborhood House. The Neighborhood House brings neighbors together to reduce hunger and homelessness and to educate both young and old, strengthening our community by providing resources to self-support, reliance, economic independence, and dignity in people of all ages and backgrounds. And this will be our last week of Donate the Basket to them. And in a few moments, you're going to hear a quiet interlude and some music, and you'll see some instructions on the screen which will help you see how to give. Thank you.
helps us when we are gifted with the drenching light of sun. Let us play with possibilities in the wide open day. Let us dream out loud of a world where all are loved, all belong, and all flourish. I extinguish this flame, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with you until we meet again.